It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Last week, Atlanta hosted a convention for some 800 romance novelists and, of course, their fans. Producer Sean Powers wanted to learn more, so he spoke to readers and writers at the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention.
My name is Laura Lynn Page, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I'm based in Kansas City. It's really good distraction. Even just writing novels is distracting because you lose yourself in another world while you're creating a world and while you're reading.
My name is Vanessa Riley, and I live here in Atlanta.
The world is extremely stressful, and so having somewhere there, I know that there's going to be a happy ever after. Next best thing to a good hot bath.
My name is Trishawn Bates, and I'm from Decatur, Georgia, and I'm a childcare provider. I've pretty much dealt with a lot of the erotica and all the different romance in the books, and I was reading a book on a bus one day, and it was an older lady sitting next to me, and she was like, "What are you reading, sweetie?" I'm like, "Do I have to tell you what I'm reading?" You know, so I had to tell her. She was turning her head at me, and it's like, "Okay, I can't talk to her because she's not reading something I want to hear."
Voices of some of the people at the Romance Novel Convention last week in Atlanta. One way to broaden the appeal of romance novels is maybe add some good old Southern love and death. That's the premise behind a new anthology, Gone with the Dead. It is the merging of two Atlanta classics, Gone with the Wind and The Walking Dead. And it's the brainchild of Lori Perkins, the publisher of Riverdale Avenue Books. And she joins us from New York. Hi there, Lori.
Hello.
And also with us is author Zio Axelrod, one of the anthology's contributors. It's good to have you as well, Zio.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lori, in your introduction, I think it was, you expressed surprise. I guess you were surprised that people find it odd that you combine horror and romance. But I want to read something out of one of the books, one of the stories in this collection, okay? Here's the quote. I gagged as I saw Kathy's lifeless body ripped open from her chest to her stomach, her insides hanging out. Kathy took a step toward us, her guts spilling onto the floor with a sickening splat. That is not the kind of a story that most of, or I guess that particular part is not the kind we usually associate with romance. Is it a surprise to you that people are surprised?
Well, the people who are surprised are diehard romance fans or diehard horror fans, and they think that each genre is sacred and cannot mix. This is my third zombie romance anthology. I did my first one in 2007. It was called Hungry for Your Love, and it came out of a horror convention. Every year we have a panel on vampires, and that year the panel asked, are zombies the new vampires? And the people on the panel said, they can't be because you can't have zombie love. And I said, is that a challenge? And I put out a call for a zombie anthology. And most anthologies, I get 50, maybe 40 short stories. And for that anthology, I received 200 submissions. And for this one, we only had 2 months to put it together, and I received more than 100 submissions. But every single time I say zombie love, people are always like, how is that possible? I also feel that the roller coaster ride that you take when you read a horror novel is very, very similar to the roller coaster ride you take when you read a romance because you're so involved in the ending. And so I think they're two sides of the same coin. That's my personal belief.
So, Zio, why did you want to write? Why did you want to write a story about love and zombies and the Civil War, frankly?
My story took a bit of a departure from the theme. I actually wrote about fallen angels in mind, but Lori, I think, gave me a pass on that. But I started out writing Buffy fan fiction, so I started out with vampires and Creatures of the Night back like 10 years ago. So it was sort of like coming home for me.
We have a tweet from Robbie Medwed who says, most of my romances turn into horror, so this makes sense to me. I want to play a comment from Yvette Grimes of Franklin, North Carolina. She was at the Romance Novel Convention here in Atlanta, and she was wearing a necklace with a bare-chested man who actually appears in one of her favorite romance novels.
Oh my gosh. This is Steven. And He's gorgeous. He's perfect. He's the perfect man. Because he has this gruff alpha side, but then at the same time, because, okay, he's a shifter, so he's a tiger. But yet, he cares about his family. He's willing to sacrifice himself for his family and for what's right.
Okay, so Sean was there, our producer, Sean Powers, and he pressed her a little further on how far this fantasy with Stephen would go. And here was her answer.
You know what? I've been married for 31 years, and I think I have my Stephen. Because he takes care of his family, and my husband is a quiet, silent type. I'm the talker, so he's a quiet, silent type, but whenever he gets upset about something, you better listen, because it's not a good thing.
So, Lori, what is the relationship it's very often women, but what is the relationship between the heroes of these romance novels and their real-life partners and spouses and boyfriends?
Most of the readers of romance have really great relationships, and this is just an exploration of an idealized version of a different relationship, a different time, a different place. They don't really believe that they're going to time travel back to the Civil War or, you know, date a Highlander. It's an escape, and it's a free pass. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's actually another thing, and I'll take this next one to you, Zio, but let's hear first from Annie Ruggles of Chicago, who reflects what we just heard from Lori, the fun, the escapism part of it.
I mean, I have ongoing struggles with depression and anxiety, and it's definitely a nice escape for those things. I was laid off in January. I was just feeling kind of yuck, and having a big old stack of books was quite nice, especially with everything going on in the world. To go somewhere where people are overcoming struggles, it's a very necessary escape.
So, do you think that's limiting if a book or story needs to be escapism at its heart? A, do you accept that premise? And B, does that limit you?
No, I don't find it limiting. A good friend of mine who's also an author, Damon Swade, has a great quote about romance. He calls it the literature of hope. And I think whether any book has a happy ending or not, it's still a different reality to experience for a while to get away from your own. So no, I don't find it limiting at all.
So then, Lori, how do you deal with diversity? If you're going to have a story which one of the themes, half, 50% of the theme is Civil War or Gone with the Wind, does that necessarily leave out minority characters and authors?
Well, one of the Civil War stories is a gay story. So there's time travel. The first story in the anthology takes place in a Civil War reenactment where the zombie virus breakout happens. So there's many different ways. You just have to be creative. They were just strong suggestions to use Gone with the Wind and The Walking Dead as sort of inspirations in some way. But writers can be extremely clever. And I think that this actually is a very, very diverse anthology with a lot of surprises.
So, do you find that you get fans that will like your writing in particular, or do you find yourself drawn to specific authors?
Oh, definitely. There's a voice. You fall in love with an author's voice, and if you can find a similar voice when you finish that book, you pick up the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. I'm always surprised when anyone reads my book, to be honest with you, because I've been doing this for a couple of years. But yeah, I definitely fall in love with authors' voices, and if they write something, I will pre-order it right away and just can't wait to get my teeth into it.
So, Lori, one of the things you talk about is mashups and how much you like them. And I guess your Riverdale has done this with a number of different things, these mashing up of maybe a surprising different themes. What draws you to mashups?
Well, if you love something, you can read it over and over and over again. But if you can reapproach it from a different perspective or bring it into the current zeitgeist or pop culture, it reinvents it. So after 50 Shades of Grey, we did Spank Me, Mr. Darcy, and that did very well. And then the author wanted to do Menage a Musketeer, which was a Three Musketeers menage, which anybody who's read the original had to have been thinking about that all along. The next book that she's going to be doing is Dom Quixote. I think they're fun. I think they're clever. I personally love them. Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, when that came out, that really blew me away. I just thought it was one of the most clever things I had ever seen. And there's different ways of doing mashups, too. We also just did an anthology called, it's not quite a mashup, it's called 1984 in the 21st Century, and we had 25 essayists and journalists write about how 1984 is or is not still relevant now. That, you know, it's a, just a different way of bringing a classic into the current time.
Well, then let's move on to a different topic, which was brought up by the wildly successful series, 50 Shades of Grey. This is New York Times bestselling author Laurelyn Page, who's talking about the necessity to separate the novel from the reality.
Some of the romances that we read and enjoy are not necessarily the romance relationships that we would consider healthy. And I would not recommend that we base reality on those.
Zia, what do you think about that? Should there be a natural separation between what you're writing in the novel, or do you think about the health of relationships or what deeper message people may be taking?
Well, there's definitely a fine line to walk. I mean, what we want to read in our books, these alpha males who take charge of your life and in the bedroom and everything, it's not necessarily what you want in your real life, but again, it goes back to the escapism. You may want that fantasy for 200 pages or 300 pages, but there's definitely a fine line to walk when you're thinking about the health of your readers, and you don't want to trigger anyone, I guess is the word I'm looking for, from a bad situation.
How do you deal with that, Lori?
Well, I think we all know that it's fiction. I mean, I was thinking that, of course, you know, when you read a novel about falling in love with a vampire, you don't really think that you're going to fall in love with a vampire. These are tropes. And, you know, you kind of, there's a similarity to all these novels. They are not a teaching experience. They are entertainment. And I really do think that the readers of romance know that.
Hopefully. Right? I mean, that's in the end, that's the hope because you're writing fiction. I mean, in the minute and a half that we have left, Zio, can you imagine yourself writing yet another either Civil War Gone with the Wind themed book or story or zombies? Is this giving you a, pardon the pun, taste for the mashup?
Absolutely. Like I said, paranormal was my first love, and I don't even know why I went away from it. I guess I just got caught up in my contemporary romances, but I would definitely, definitely revisit it. It's a freeing, as Lori said, trope. You can play around with metaphors. You can use, you know, different conditions for metaphors for the human condition. So there's a lot of fun to play around with, for sure.
That is Zio Axelrod. She's an author of books, especially romance novels. And Lori Perkins is editor of the Gone with the Dead anthology. She's the founder of the publishing company Riverdale Avenue Books. Lori and Zio, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having me.